Marie?
Yes, Otto?
Is Peter around?
Well, I think he's out in the garage tinkering with a model plane he's building, dear. Why?
Well, you and I are going to need some help on our subject, and I think Peter could give it to us.
Yes, it would be a help to have Peter's advice. Boys of his age today seem to be advanced way beyond their years in mechanical knowledge.
How could we ever talk about midget autos and racing if we didn't have the advice and help of an expert? Let's ask Peter to join us.
At all.
Yes, Marie?
I just called Peter. He'll be right here in just a minute. He said for us to start and he'll join us.
Well, dear, what I wanted to talk to you about was the possibility of taking Peter to the Memorial Day races in Indianapolis next year. I think it's something that he'd like to attend very much. What do you think?
Well, I don't know, but I imagine he would. However, here he is now. Come in, Pete.
Oh, Pete, pull up a chair and sit down. Mother and I were just talking about the possibility of your visiting the Indianapolis Speedway next year on Memorial Day. What do you think about it?
Well, I don't know. I suppose I would like to go to the race, but the thing is that I really would like to do is to go to the Indianapolis track for 30 days prior to the race.
Why? What's happened 30 days prior to the race?
Well, that's when they have the time trials, and they warm up, and you only have to pay 50 cents admission, and you get to see a pretty good show.
Well, Peter, when you go, we'll pay the admission. Don't worry about the admission.
Oh,
Well, it's nice to think that he'd be worried about it.
Very nice indeed. Is it supposed to be very exciting, Pete, the trials and the...
Well, I mean, it doesn't take so much time. You don't have to sit there and watch the whole race. I mean, they warm up the motors and they try to see how fast they can go around the track. And...
Wonderful.
Now, is that a sort of an elimination contest, Pete, that they try out to see whether they're good enough to go in the final race?
Yes, that's when they try out.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Well, which have been the, in the last several years... Naturally, this is the race of motors. Who has made the most successful racing car, Pete?
Well, a man by the name of Lou Moore. He's made the best one.
The motors and the cars both?
Well, he takes the motors and he tears them apart and puts them back together again.
Well, then he doesn't actually make the motor, does he?
No, he doesn't. He just makes the body.
Uh-huh. But he's been responsible for winning an awful lot of races.
Yes, he has.
He really must know his onions, in other words, huh?
Well, now, listen, Pete. We took you to some night races out here in California. But now, those were called the midget races. Now, I only went once, so I know very little about it. But tell me, dear, now, how much smaller are those midget cars than the large ones that are raced at Indianapolis?
Well, they're about half size, three-quarters of the size of the big cars.
Mm-hmm. And how fast will they go, Pete?
Well, Lots of times they average about 70 on the straightaway and about 50 on the curves, I guess.
Oh, my. It won't be fast to me.
Yes, they're small cars.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Well, now, how fast are the Lou Moore specials and the Nulvey specials and the Miller specials that they use in the big race? How fast do they go?
Oh, 120, I guess.
Gracious, you're both over my head. I don't know where we are.
Much. It's a very, very dangerous sport, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, would you like to be a race driver?
No, I don't think I would.
Good for you.
Well, I hope not.
I hope that you never are.
Now, listen, dear, what about the little car that you bought the other day, which is a gasoline model?
It's a reproduction of a little tiny midget car, a regular midget car. It's about 10 inches long.
Yeah.
And it has a small one-cylinder engine in it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of an engine?
Well, it's called an Olson and Rice.
Olson and Rice.
Yeah.
Now, how long would that run, Pete?
Well, on the average side gas tank, about 3 to 4 minutes.
And how fast will it go?
Oh, mine will go between 50 and 60 miles an hour.
Would you believe it? Now, darling, look, tell me, how do those things operate? Now, I know you have a very complicated method when you go over to the playgrounds and run them. How exactly do you start those little cars?
Well, you take a broomstick. That's the best thing to use. And you set the car on the ground. And there's a thing called a booster battery, which helps start it, which gives the engine a little more electricity to start it.
Yeah.
And they're very loose clips that attach onto the racing car at a certain point, and you just lay the broomstick on the car and push and run along behind the broomstick, which pushes the car along the ground. And as soon as the car starts, it pulls away, and the clips are loose, and that pulls the clips off, and it starts away under its own power.
As soon as
the motor over.
Sorry, as soon as the motor starts, it pulls away from the booster battery.
Yes, you just...
And then how do you control
it? Just let it go. Oh, there's a man in the center holding a wire. Sometimes it's gutted 50 feet.
Yeah.
In other words, it takes two people to run one of them.
Yes, two people with a handle. Oh. He just holds it and it goes around in a circle.
Uh-huh. Now, will this motor you have, could you take that out of the automobile and put it into an aeroplane?
Yes, I could.
Well, you built a plane, Pete. Now, what was the size of the plane you just finished building?
Well, the wingspan was about A yard, approximately a yard.
Mm-hmm. And now that same motor will fit in, is that it?
Yes, here we go into that place.
Well, I've been waiting every day to come up and help put it in there. When are you going to do it? I would like to see the plane fly because it looks perfectly beautiful.
Well, I'm not too keen about flying planes.
Why?
They're sort of fragile, and if they ever cracked up, I mean...
It's an awful loss.
In a racing car, if it turned over, your motor is protected by the metal on the car.
But... Well, then why do so many people go in for airplane miniature
airplanes? Well, they like it because they know how to fly it better.
But I've seen a lot of them crash, Pete.
Well, yes, they have to take the chances.
Oh.
Now, tell me, dear, how much did the,
plane...
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly. You know why he's cautious? I'll tell you why. Because he saved his own money to buy the plane and the motor.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I was going to ask him. Pete, how much do you find... can you remember now exactly how much it cost for the plane and the motor, for the aeroplane?
Well, the plane cost about $2, and the motor cost about $9.50.
Mm-hmm.
And the gas tank cost a tiny bit under a dollar, probably about 80 cents. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But,
About
$12.
$12, you can have a plane and a motor
and
everything to run it with.
Yeah.
And when you get up enough nerve to throw your possible investment away, you're going out and fly the aeroplane.
Well, you see, after all, you spent weeks in making the plane, and it's really a thing of beauty. I'm not eager at all to see it crash. It's very beautiful, and he's painted it yellow, and it's all very shiny and very lovely. And I think that I agree with him. I think it's better not to do it.
Well, Peter, I think we've said about enough on automobile racing. Can you give us some help on another subject?
Well, Dad, I'll be glad to try.
Oh, this should be something you're interested in, too, Peter. Games we played when we were children.
Now, put your thinking cap on, Pete, and we'll talk about games in just a moment after we listen to someone else.
Now, Adolf and Peter, please don't make this completely a discussion about masculine games. Remember, girls play games, too.
Yes, dear, we know that girls play games, but I wanted to talk to Peter about some of the games that... are being played at his school here. And one of the things, Pete, that I have noticed particularly is that the boys here do not play marbles. Why is that?
Well, we're too much more interested in the major sports, and I don't know. We just like football and baseball and all that kind of stuff.
Well, do you know that about 3 years ago, in preparation for your so-called marble days, that I went out and bought some of the most beautiful agates and puries, and we used to call them, so that when you went to school, you'd have three or four of these, and you have never asked before them once, and they've gone down the drain. Never played marbles. Isn't it incredible?
Well, it's not to me, because I never played marbles either.
Oh,
but I don't think you're interested in what
marbles.
Girls play.
Well, not very much, dear. What did they play?
Oh, would you really like to know?
Yes, very much.
Would you, Peter?
I don't know.
Make up your mind. You want me to tell you?
Okay.
Yes, well, thank you both very much.
Wonderful.
Yes, well, when I was a little girl, we used to play a great deal of hopscotch, and they don't seem to play that very much now.
No.
And I was very fond of a game that I suppose is really meant for boys. And it's also a game that Pete doesn't play very much. Mumbly Peg. How about that, Pete?
Yeah, what about that Mumbly Peg?
Well, we don't play Mumbly Peg for one reason. Knives are not allowed in school.
Well, how, when does it come about that boys obey all the rules in school?
Now, please.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Well,
I'm for him obeying the rules, but, we weren't allowed to have knives and knives in school either.
But then you should have been playing Mumbly Peg.
We had a little pocket knives. And
well, certain boys carry them.
The wrong kind of boy, you mean. Well, maybe I was the wrong kind of a boy then, dear.
I don't know.
Just finding it out.
Tell me, Pete, what are some of the other games that you play at school? I mean, other than baseball and... there's a football game you play that's a little different. What is that?
Well, it's called touch football, and we play on the cement. And instead of tackling the man... You touch him with your two hands anywhere below the waist.
How many boys are on a football team of that size?
Nine men.
Oh, you use nine instead of 11?
Yes, usually a five-man line and a four-man back, or a six-man line and a three-man back.
Oh, and the boys like it?
Yes.
But now the rules are the same as regular football?
Yes, that's all, except for the tackling.
And none of the boys play marbles?
No.
And none of the boys play mumbly pegs?
No.
And we had a game in school called shinny. Which we, like a hockey game with hockey sticks, which we ourselves made out of branches of trees, and we used a tin can. And we played it exactly like ice hockey on dry land with a goal. You don't play that?
No, we play something like it. We play a thing called bike hockey or bike polo.
Oh.
Where it's usually a five men on each team, and that's a little more dangerous. But take a regular kickball or a large ball, and you ride around on your bicycle and try to kick it with your foot over the other man's goal.
Well, that must be exciting.
Sounds more dangerous than the little game that you played as a boy.
It's a lot of fun, though.
Well, I imagine it's a lot of fun. I don't think it could be too dangerous, dear.
But the five-man teams it is. It was one man on each team.
Oh. Of course, when I was a boy, and this is considerable time back, I must admit, we had They were not crazy about basketball. They were not as mad. The boys liked football, but they didn't play it as much because they didn't have this thing that Pete has now called touch football, which takes the roughness out of a boy of his age.
Oh,
they didn't have that at all.
You can still get plenty roughed up in that.
In touch football?
Yeah. The linemen can. You can throw the cleats and everything and get your hands set taut.
Is that so?
And they don't play with uniforms, do you, Pete? You have no padding.
No, no padding.
No, because they're not supposed to throw them, you see.
And you play that on concrete?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
I'll tell you something
sometimes
else.
Sometimes on grass with cleats.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you something else. When I was a child, I used to like to not play, but probably do, and that is fly a kite. And you don't have any of that?
Never see a kite out here at all. I bought a kite about, that's wonderful, Bob, 5 years ago. And we went up into the hills and couldn't get it off the ground. That shows you how good I am at flying.
Well, it shows you how much you don't
fly. We seldom see a kite here, do we, Pete?
No, there's not enough room, that's why.
Well, how much room do you need to fly a kite?
Oh.
Be out in the meadows there. Yeah,
that's about it.
That's where it really should be.
Well, family, I guess it's about time to shut up shop for now. This is Adolphe Monjou speaking from Beverly Hills.
And this is Marie Teasdale Monjou.
And this is Peter Monjou, joining my father and mother to thank you for listening and to tell you they'll be back to visit with you again soon.